All right, take your Bibles, if you would, back to the book of Amos, Amos chapter 1. I'm going to do a quick review, and then we're going to try to cover the first two chapters tonight. I mentioned last week that Amos, his name means burden bearer, and he had the responsibility of bearing the burden of delivering a message of judgment to God's people, Israel, the northern kingdom. I mentioned that, and we'll read it again in verse 1, when we read verse 1 in just a minute of chapter 1, that he was a herdman from Tekoa, which was in the very far south of Judah. And so, and the place where he was called was in the north. So I mentioned last week he was a hillbilly called as a missionary or a prophet to the Yankees. And actually he went into the capital city of Israel, the city of Bethel. We mentioned last week that he was not a member of the school of the prophets, and so he did not train with Elijah or Elisha. He was a layman, and God gave him what he needed to deliver the messages that God wanted him to deliver, and God used him as he was. And so he used his language, his expressions, the examples from what he was familiar with to deliver the message that God wanted. And I mentioned last week that Amos knew he was called. You don't need to turn to it, but in chapter 7, verse 15, the Bible says, "And the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, Go, prophesy unto my people Israel." And so he knew that God called him, just like I mentioned last week that we know that God calls us. We've not chosen him. He's chosen us and ordained us, picked us to go and bear fruit, to tell people about Christ. And as Amos went with confidence and persistence, a sense of authority and boldness, so we ought to go the same way because we have the same kind of call from God. And I told you last week that there was an easy way to remember the outline of the book of Amos. Just remember 8 messages, 3 sermons, 5 visions. Okay? 8 messages, 3 sermons, 5 visions. And tonight, we're going to look at the 8 messages. Can you guys hear me okay in the back? Okay. Tonight we're going to look at the 8 messages. They're contained in chapters 1 and 2. They're to 8 different nations. They're to the nation of Syria, the nation of the Philistines, Phoenicia, Edom, Ammon, Moab, Judah, and Israel. And remember, Amos was a prophet to the nation of Israel, the northern kingdom. This was after the Hebrew nation had split into 2, the northern, which had 10 tribes, and the southern, which had 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin. And so he was sent to Israel. And so when he starts prophesying and he opens up his messages with messages to 7 other nations, I'm sure the people in Israel said, "Well, this guy's not so bad. You let him talk about all those heathen nations, this verse 6. Let him talk about Judah, the southern kingdom." And they were okay. But when he got to talking about them and their sins and the judgment that was coming to them, it was a different story. And you know, it's funny, people haven't changed. People are the same way today. You know, when the preacher's preaching about somebody else's sin, we're sitting back there and saying, "Let them have it, they deserve it." But when he starts stepping on our toes, then it's a sort of a different story. We say, "Well, just quit meddling, would you? Mind your own business." And so people haven't changed over the years. So tonight, again, we're going to look at chapters 1 and chapter 2. And remember, each of these 8 messages start with the expression, "For 3 transgressions and for 4. And I mentioned last week, and I'll just review it quickly, we have a long-suffering God. We have a patient God. We have a God that when we sin will try to correct us, will send warnings to us. But we as individuals and nations can cross the line on God's patience and long-suffering. We can cross the line and commit to that sin where God no longer can warn, where God can no longer threaten, but where God has to mete out punishment. And so that's what Amos is saying. And by the way, you know, it's the same way. I mean, you that have been parents or are parents, it's the same way with our kids. I mean, you know, unless I was really mad, I didn't spank my kids the first time they did something. I mean, if I was really, you know, if they had upset me about other stuff. But, you know, I warned them. I tried to explain what they were doing wrong and what the punishment was going to be. I threatened them, said, you know, hey, if you don't straighten up, you're going to get it. But there came a time when they crossed the line and punishment had to be meted out. And in the same way with God. I mean, he loves us, and he will try to correct us, and he will rebuke us, and he will warn us. But there comes a time when we cross a line, or when a nation crosses a line, and God says, you know, I've got to be God. I've got to mete out the punishment that I promised. And that's what the message is that Amos is delivering to these eight nations. So look at verses 1 and 2 of chapter 1. The words of Amos, who was among the herdmen of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. And so, again, he was a prophet to Israel, but just to set the timing, he told us who was king, not only in Israel, but who was in Judah. And again, as just remind you, some of you weren't here last week, this was not the first Jeroboam. This was Jeroboam number 2. The first Jeroboam is the one that led the nation of Israel to separate from Judah. This came much later than that. And they mention this earthquake. It must have been unusual because it was also mentioned by Zechariah. But we don't know anything else about it other than these two prophets timed their prophecy based on this earthquake. Look at verse 2. And he said, the Lord will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the habitations of the shepherds shall mourn, and the top of Carmel shall wither. Zion was it was part of Jerusalem. It was the fortress of David that was part of the city of Jerusalem, sort of the southeast section of the city. The temple was in there, and it was where the Hebrews thought that the presence of God dwelt. Remember, Solomon said, "I'm building God a house, but this house can't contain God." But God came and visited. I don't know what word to use, but the high priest once a year went into the Holy of Holies. He was going into the presence of God. And most Hebrews thought that this is where God dwelt in this Zion. So he said, God's going to roar like a lion from Zion, from this part of Jerusalem. And he said, the habitations of the shepherds shall mourn. In other words, the pastures are going to dry up. And then he says, the top of Carmel shall wither. Carmel was a mountain that had a lot of vegetation on it. And when this judgment is going to come, what Amos is saying, all that's going to wither away. It's going to dry up. All right, so here we go. In verse 3, we'll read all these verses. Most of them are just 2 or 3 verses until we get down to the judgment on Israel. Notice when he's talking to the other 7 nations, it's only 2 or 3 verses. But when he talks to Israel, I think there's 11 there. But the judgment on Damascus or the judgment on Syria. Damascus was the capital of Syria. Thus saith the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Damascus and for 4, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have threshed Gilead with threshing instruments of iron. But I will send a fire into the house of Hazael, which shall devour the palaces of Ben-Hadad. I will break also the bar of Damascus and cut off the inhabitant from the plain of Avon, and him that holdeth the scepter from the house of Eden, and the people of Syria shall go into captivity unto Kir, saith the Lord. And again, you read this just casual reading, and you know sometimes it doesn't make a lot of sense. So let me just help you with what the judgment that Amos is pronouncing on Syria. Again, Damascus was the capital. It's about 135 miles northeast of Jerusalem. Gilead was the rich pasture land southwest of Damascus. And it was the home Gilead was, of the half tribe of Manasseh that did not cross the Jordan River. So they stayed. When Joshua divided up the land, and actually these two and a half tribes went to Moses before he died. You remember the Israelites as under Moses conquered two kingdoms east of the Jordan River. They conquered the kingdom of Sion, and they conquered the kingdom of Og, O-G. I think that's how you spell it. And the tribes of Reuben and the tribes of, half-tribe of Manasseh and one other tribe, and I can't remember, my mind went blank. They said to Moses, hey, the land that we just conquered is good for cattle, and we have a lot of cattle. Could we have, instead of crossing the Jordan River, could we have our inheritance here? And Moses said, first of all, I said, well, no, you're just like Achan, or you're just like the people that wouldn't go into the promised land the first time. You didn't trust God. And now you're trying to discourage your brethren because you're not going to go fight for the promised land. They said, no, we'll go. We'll go and fight. But when we get done, we want to come back and have our inheritance here. So Moses told Joshua, if they do what they say, you can give them their inheritance here. And so they did. They went over and fought for the promised land. But then this half tribe of Manasseh came back and dwelt in this land called Gilead. And Syria invaded them. And it says that they threshed Gilead with threshing instruments of iron. So in other words, they were very cruel when they came in to and killed the Hebrews that were still living in this land of Gilead. I mean, as I was studying, I picture a threshing instrument that just goes and cuts grain, you know, with a sharp point. And just think about the picture of that when a conqueror goes in to conquer a nation just using instruments of iron where they just go wipe thresh people, just kill people, wipe out people. And Amos is pronouncing this judgment on Syria because of their cruelty when they conquered the land of Gilead. And he said, now, Hazael was a king of Syria. He actually killed Ben-Hadad. Ben-Hadad was the king. Hazael took and Ben-Hadad was sick, and he sent Hazael to, I think it was Elisha, and asked Elijah, am I going to get better? And Elisha said, well, yeah, he's going to get better, but he said, you're going to kill him, and you're going to be the next king of Syria, and you're going to be cruel to the Hebrews. And that's exactly what happened. And so this judgment, it says, I will send a fire into the house of Hazael, who was the king, and devour the palaces of Ben-Hadad, who had been the king. And I will break also the bar of Damascus. What Amos is saying there, I will break the gate of Damascus, the gate of security, the gate that keeps invaders out. I will break it open so that the enemy can come in, and they will carry off the inhabitants of Damascus. And again, we don't know where those places are, Avon, Eden, not the Garden of Eden, but the House of Eden, from the House of Eden. And the people of Syria shall go into captivity unto Kir. Now, that word Kir means a walled place. And so Amos was saying, because of your cruelty to the land of Gilead, when you went in to take it, you're going to be carried away captive, and you're going to be put in a walled place, and your city is going to be destroyed. Now, as we think about these, I meant to mention this before, as we hear what these people have done, you'll see that the first six nations, and there were the first six nations, the nations that weren't the Hebrews, every one of their sins, in some sense or another, was cruelty to other people, was being cruel to other people. When we get to Judah and Israel, their sin is going to be turning away from God and his word. But as we think about the sins of these first six nations, here's what I want us to think about. None of us will do what I'm going to talk about tonight. I mean, none of us. I just can't picture anybody being involved in what we're going to talk about tonight. But God has told us to love our neighbor as ourselves. And so as we think about the judgment that he's meting out on these people because they were cruel to other people, I would just ask you to think about how God has instructed us to love others and how we need to love others. And if God judged these nations because they were cruel to other people, God will judge us if we don't love others. Okay? All right, let's go to verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Gaza and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they carried away captive the whole captivity to deliver them up to Edom. But I will send a fire on the wall of Gaza, which shall devour the palaces thereof, and I will cut off the inhabitant from Ashdod, and him that holdeth the scepter from Ascalon, and I will turn my hand against Elkron, and the remnant of Philistines shall perish, saith the Lord God. Again, Gaza, G-A-Z-A, was the chief city of the Philistines. And their sin was the sin of slave traffic. So it's when it says they carried away captive the whole captivity to deliver them up to Edom, what they did is they came and they took Hebrews, Jews, and they sold them as slaves to Edom. And we're going to talk about Edom in a minute. There's a message to Edom here. But you remember Edom was the nation of Edom was the descendants of Esau, Jacob's brother. And so the Philistines had come and carried the Hebrews off, sold them as slaves to Edom. And Amos was pronouncing judgment on them for doing that. And he mentions four of the five cities that made up the original land of Philistines. The only one that he did not mention was the city, state, whatever you want to call it, where Goliath was from. Anybody remember the name of that one? Goliath of Gath. Gath's the only one not mentioned. The other four are mentioned in this judgment on the Philistines, and Gath was probably already destroyed. I mean, it was probably already destroyed. So again, the cruelty to other people, taking them and selling them as slaves, judgment was passed on them. Then look at 9 and 10. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Tyrus and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they delivered up the whole captivity to Edom and remembered not the brotherly covenant. But I will send a fire on the wall of Tyrus, which shall devour the palaces thereof. Tyrus or Tyre was the chief seaport of Phoenicia. All right, it was located on the coast. It was a city on a very narrow strip of land between the sea and the mountains. And again, their sin was the same one as the Philistines. They dealt in slave traffic, and they delivered a whole bunch of Hebrews to Edom again. And the Bible says there they remember not the brotherly covenant. Now, Hiram, if you remember your Old Testament, Hiram was a king of Phoenicia that made a covenant with David to provide lumber to build David's house. Okay? He also made a covenant with Solomon to provide the lumber for the temple and Solomon's house. Hiram and David were very close. In fact, the Bible says that Hiram was ever a lover of David. And when Solomon was appointed king of the whole nation of Israel before they divided, Hiram said, it's recorded in the Bible, God must really love these people because he's given a wise king to follow in the steps of David. And so they made a covenant. Both David and Solomon traded goods to Hiram for lumber, for trees, and they were close in those kingdoms, the kingdom of David and the kingdom of Solomon. So that's the brotherly covenant that Amos is talking about here, that they remembered not. And so again, you notice in each one of these, the judgment is, I will send fire on the wall of Tyrus, which shall devour the palaces thereof. Okay, look at verses 11 and 12. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Edom, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because he did pursue his brother with the sword, and did cast off all pity, and his anger did tear perpetually. and he kept his wrath forever. But I will send a fire upon Teman, which shall devour the palaces of Bozrah. Now again, the first three nations had no connection to Israel, other than this covenant that, or this agreement that Hiram made. Now the next three we're going to talk about, Edom, Ammon, and Moab, were all sort of related. Edom, again, was a descendant of Esau, Jacob's brother. Ammon and Moab were children of Lot that Lot had with his two daughters. Okay? You remember that story. After they were cast out of Sodom and Gomorrah, they went to live in the mountains. His daughter said, we're never going to have a husband, and so let's, you know, get our dad drunk, and we'll have children by our dad. And the two children that came out of that were Amnon, the father of the Ammonites, and the father of the Moabites. So God is pronouncing judgment through Amos on these three nations that have connections to Israel. The first one is Edom. And from the beginning of their history, Edom hated Israel, and Israel hated Edom. There's no specific sin mentioned here other than that perpetual hatred, other than that perpetual enmity that they had for each other. And then this, it mentions Teman, which was the capital, and then it mentions Bozrah, which was another chief city of that. God said, I'm going to send fire on them. I'm going to destroy the palaces. I'm going to destroy the houses and the people that are there. All right, I got to hurry. Look at verse 13. Then saith the Lord, for three transgressions of the children of Ammon, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have ripped up the women with child of Gilead, that they might enlarge their border. But I will kindle a fire in the wall of Rabbah, and it shall devour the palaces thereof, with shouting in the day of battle, with a tempest in the day of the whirlwind, and their king shall go into captivity, and he and his princes together, saith the Lord. Okay, again, Ammon was a descendant of Lot. They invaded Gilead, again, that place that belonged to that half-tribe of Manasseh. And the Bible is being very literal here. They cut in pieces pregnant women so that they could expand their coast. I mean, just think about that. The cruelty done as they came into that land. And God says, I'm going to kindle a fire. Rahab was the capital. By the way, that was the city that David was fighting when he ordered Joab to have Uriah killed. And it also mentioned there this whirlwind. God was not only going to send a fire, he's going to send a tornado. And he was going to destroy this nation because of their cruelty. Okay, chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Then saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Moab, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because he burnt the bones of the king of Edom into lime. But I will send a fire upon Moab, and it shall devour the palaces of Kerith, and Moab shall die with tumult, with shouting, with the sound of the trumpet. And I will cut off the judge from the midst thereof, and will slay all the princes thereof with him, saith the Lord. Moab was Amnon's brother. And just like his brother was cruel, destroying the unborn, what Moab did is they would take the bones of the people that they had killed in their war, burn them, turn them into lime, and then use that lime to build buildings. So they could take their children to different buildings and says, there's the bones of the king of Edom. There's the bones of the king of this other nation that we destroyed. Again, just cruelty to other people. And God, again, the cities, the places that are mentioned there, Kerith was the capital, chief city there. And God says, I'm going to destroy it with war. The judges and the princes are going to perish. In fact, the judgment that came on Moab was so severe that both Isaiah and Jeremiah mentioned it in their books, and they said they wept because the judgment was so severe on the city of Moab. All right, look at verse 4. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Judah and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have despised the law of the Lord and have not kept his commandments, and their lies caused them to err after the which their fathers have walked. But I will send a fire upon Judah, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem. All right, this was a northern kingdom. It was a place where David's descendants ruled after the nation was split. And notice that their sin was not cruelty to other people, but their sin was turning away from the law of the Lord and not obeying his commandments. The lies that it's talking about there that caused them to err was the lies they told about teachings that did not come from God, and the lies they told about God. They described God in a way that God wasn't, which led the people to err, led the people to turn to idolatry. And because they turned to the idolatry, God says, I'm going to judge you. I'm going to send fire and destroy Jerusalem. And so what God was saying, hey, you're acting like heathen people, I'm going to treat you like heathen people. I'm going to bring judgment upon you. And Jerusalem was destroyed by fire, but it lasted 135 years longer than Israel did because of Isaiah and Micah and because of King Hezekiah. God averted or delayed his judgment for 135 years. The nation of Israel fell 135 years before the nation of Judah did. So, seven of the eight. And Israel says, hey, let them have it. They deserve it. Okay? Now Amos turns to them. Verse 6, thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Israel and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they sold the righteous for silver and the poor for a pair of shoes. Again, their sin was turning away from God. And they turned to immorality. They had a hardness of heart. They had no feeling for the poor. The righteous that is talking about there, they sold the righteous for silver and the poor for a pair of shoes. They would bring charges against innocent people, and the innocent people would be found guilty, probably because they bribed the judges, and those innocent people would lose everything. They would lose everything. No justice. They pant, verse 7, that pant after the dust of the earth on the head of the poor, and turn aside the way of the meek. And a man and his father will go into the same maid to profane my holy name. Pant after the dust on the earth. They begrudged the dust that was on the head of the poor. They were so greedy that they didn't even want the poor to have the dust on their head. Where it says they prevented, turn aside the meek. There were people that wanted to follow God and do right. But these people prevented them. And part of the act of the idolatry that they set up, they had temple prostitutes. And it talks about there, a father and his son will go into the same maid. And so you can see how far away they got from God. And they lay themselves down upon clothes laid to pledge by every altar. And they drink the wine of the condemned in the house of their God. When the Israelites had to pay a debt, they could do that by giving their clothes to somebody else. But the law was the clothes had to be returned before evening. And so they were violating that law. They slept on the clothes that was laid by pledge. And the condemned were those that were fined. And sometimes they paid their fines in wine. And these people would drink that wine in the house of God. Again, not to the point where they got drunk. And again, they just, you can see they turned away from God. Now, verse 9, God reminds them. He says, yet destroyed I the Amorite before them, whose height was like the height of the cedars. And he was strong as the oaks. Yet I destroyed his fruit from above and his roots from beneath. God said, look, I brought you into this land. You remember when you first saw it, you saw giants and you thought you were grasshoppers? That's what he's talking about, the heights, like the cedars. He says, I'm the one that gave you this land. I'm the one that brought you in. He says in verse 10, and I brought you up from the land of Egypt and led you 40 years through the wilderness, possessed the land of the Amorite. I'm the one that got you out of Egypt. I'm the one that took care of you for 40 years when you were in the wilderness. Verse 11, and I raised up of your sons for prophets. I picked some of your sons to be prophets, and of your young men for Nazarites. The Nazarite vow, they couldn't touch anything, grapes or anything that had to do with alcohol. They couldn't cut their hair. And then the Nazarite vow was a sign and a symbol of how close God's people were to be to him. And he says, I raised up prophets. I called some of your young men to be Nazarites. But verse 12, but ye gave the Nazarites wine to drink, which broke their vow, and the commanded the prophets, saying, don't prophesy. What God's trying to say, you've turned away from me. I mean, this symbol that was supposed to represent how close we were, you've defiled by giving them wine. And those that I've raised up to warn you, you've said, keep your mouth shut. Don't prophesy. Verse 13, behold, I am pressed under you as a cart is pressed that is full of sheaves. And here's what that verse is saying. He says, I'm going to press down on you like a heavy cart that's just loaded, presses down upon the earth that it travels over. I mean, just get the picture. God says, I'm just going to press down on you. Just put pressure on you. I'm just going to press down. That's going to be your punishment. This pressing down. And he says, when I press down, therefore the flight shall perish from the swift, and the strong shall not strengthen his force, neither shall the mighty deliver himself. The punishment that I'm going to bring, the swift people won't be able to run, the strong will not be strong, and the mighty will not be mighty. It won't do any good. I'm bringing the punishment. Neither shall he stand that handleth the bow. The archer's bow won't do any good. And he that is swift of foot shall not deliver himself. Neither shall he that rideth the horse deliver himself. If you're swift of foot and got a fast horse, you ain't going to get away. I mean, the punishment is coming. And he that is courageous among the mighty shall flee away naked in that day, saith the Lord. He said, those that are courageous are going to be a coward. And they're just going to run away. And that's the punishment that I am going to bring on you because you have turned away from me. And I got to quit because I'm out of time. But just like I mentioned about the first six nations that, you know, none of us will do those things that we talked about tonight as far as selling people for slaves and threshing people with iron instruments. But again, God has told us to love our neighbor as ourselves. And if he will bring judgment on people that are cruel to others, he will bring judgment on us if we don't love others. And just like he will bring punishment, he brought punishment on his people, the Hebrews that turned away from him, that ignored his law, that did not keep his commandments, he will do the same thing today. And so Amos is speaking these eight messages. He's speaking to eight different nations, but he's speaking to us as well. We need to hear the messages that he gives to these people. All right, thank you for being here tonight. Let's stand and have a word of prayer.